This week's Parsha is Parsha's Matos, and we will start in the beginning of the Parsha, which is chapter 30, verse number 2. The verse says, Vaydaber Moshe Roshe Matos Livnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the head of the tribes, to the Jewish people, Leimor, saying, Ze HaDovor, this is the thing, Asher Tzivo Hashem, that Hashem commanded. And afterwards the verse continues, Ish Ki Yidor Neder Lashem, a person who will make a vow to Hashem, Oishav Ashvua, all he'll swear a swearing, Lesor Isor Al Nafshoy, to prohibit a prohibition on himself, Lo Yachel Devoroy, this person should not desecrate his word, Kechol Ayoitze Mipiv Yase, according to whatever comes out of his mouth, he should do. Basically, these are the laws that if somebody takes a vow, that he is required to fulfill his vow. We're first going to go again on the first pasuk, and we'll bring the interesting Yalkut, which the Yalkut explains what is the meaning of Zeh HaDovor, this is the thing, Asher Tzivo Hashem, that Hashem commanded. The Yalkut in this parsha, Tov Shin Pei Dalet, says, Magid, it's teaching you, Shekeshem Shenisna BeMoshe BeKoi, in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to prophesy, he prophesies sometimes using the words Koi Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say, Kach nisnabu anavim bekoi. Also the prophets said also, so did Hashem say. Umoisiv aleihem Moshe, but Moshe Rabbeinu adds to the level of the prophets, Shanemar boy, that in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's also written, Zeh HaDovor, that this is the thing that Hashem said. Zeh Shomer HaKosuf, this is what the pasuk means to say. And the verse is in Keheles chapter 5, where the verse says, Toiv Asheloi Tidoir, it is better that you do not make a promise, Mishetidoi Veloi Teshalem, than making a promise and not fulfilling. These are the words of the Yalkut Shimoni, and on this Yalkut Shimoni there are numerous questions. First, the question is that the Medrash starts by saying that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesies with Koy Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say, and other prophets prophesies in so did Hashem say, and it was added by Moshe Rabbeinu, Zeh HaDovor, that this is what Hashem says. And Meforshim explained that Zeh HaDovor, this is what Hashem says, is a closer connection to Hashem. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu is actually seeing exactly what Hashem said, where other prophets only saw in a light that is not completely clear. Therefore, they can't say that this is what Hashem said. They could say, Koy Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say, which may not be exactly as Hashem is speaking it. But since Moshe Rabbeinu's levels of prophecy was much greater than any other prophet, then Moshe Rabbeinu could say, Zeh HaDovor, that this is the thing that Hashem said, because he actually sees Baspakalari Almira, he sees in a clear light what Hashem says. But if that is the interpretation of this Medrash, then we have a problem. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to prophesize by the words Koy Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say? Moshe Rabbeinu could just prophesize by the words Zeh HaDovor Asher Tzivo Hashem, that this is what Hashem commanded. Then why does the Medrash need to say that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesies in Koy Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say, and all the prophets prophesied in so did Hashem say, and Moshe Rabbeinu added that he could say Zeh HaDovor, that this is what Hashem says. If that is true, then why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu always say Zeh HaDovor Asher Tzivo Hashem, that this is what Hashem commanded? The other question that Meforshim asked, that this is not the first time that the words Zeh HaDovor is written in the Torah. In Parshas Beshalach, chapter 16, verse number 32, by the man, there is written, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zeh HaDovor Asher Tzivo Hashem, that this is what Hashem said, Meloi Ho'emer Mimenu, L'mishmer Zedoroi Seichem, they should put a full Omer of the man as a safeguard for all generations. So there it's already written one time, Zeh HaDovor. And then in Parshas Vayakel, in Shmos chapter 35, verse number 4, there it's also written, Vayomer Moshe Al-Kol Das Bnei Yisrael Leimor. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the whole congregation of Jewish people saying, Zeh HaDovor Asher Tzivo Hashem Leimor. this is the thing that Hashem commanded to say, and there it's asking that we should give a donation to the tabernacle. And then in Vayikra chapter 9, verse number 6, it's also written in Parsha Shmini, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe says, Zeha Dovar Shetziva Hashem, this is the thing that Hashem commanded, Tasu, you should do, Vayero Aleichem Kvod Hashem, and the glory of Hashem will appear to you. And also in Vayikra chapter 17, verse number 2, it says, Daber Laharn Velbonov, tell Aharon and his sons, Velkobna Israel, and to all the Jewish children, Domarto Aleim, and say to them, Zeha Dovor Shetziva Hashem Leimor, this is the thing that Hashem commanded to say. And there it's talking about that we should not slaughter animals outside the Beis HaMikdash, that we should bring the animals into the tabernacle. So we see there are three previous times that the word Zeha Dovor Ashetziva Hashem, this is the thing that Hashem commanded, is said by Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet the Medrash there doesn't say anything that Moshe Rabbeinu is in a greater level that he says Zeh HaDovar. Why does the Medrash bring this idea specifically here by Parshas Nedarim, where we're making a vow that Moshe Rabbeinu is in a greater level that he says Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem, he says this is the thing that Hashem commanded. If it would be the first time that this is mentioned in the Torah, I understand that the Medrash wants to make a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy and the other prophets' prophecies. But since it's not the first time, why did the Medrash wait and specifically mention this idea here in regards to the vows, in regards to Parshas Nedarim? And the last question that we are going to have on this Yalkut is that after the Yalkut brings that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesizes Bazeh HaDovor, then the Yalkut says, Zeh She'omar HaKosuf, that this is what the verse means in Keheles, Toi Vasher Loi Tidoir, it's better that you do not make a vow, Mishetidoir Loi Teshalem, than making a vow and not fulfilling it. And the question is, what connection is this last statement, that better don't make a vow than vowing and not fulfilling, has to do with Zeh HaDovar Shetziva Hashem, that these are the words that Hashem commanded? What connection has the end of the Medrash to do with anything in regards to that Medrash? Theoretically, it's a separate topic altogether. Then why does the Medrash put together that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied with Zeh HaDovar? Therefore, the Pasuk tells you better don't make a vow than make a vow and not fulfill it. It seems absolutely no connection to it. We are going to give many answers, and not all the answers answer all the questions. We will first start to answer a couple questions based on the Meshe Chachma on this week's Parsha. The Meshe Chachma says that all the places that it's written Zeh HaDovar, for example, by the inauguration of the tabernacle, by the donations of the Mishkan, or by the man, all those things apply only temporarily, do not apply for all generations, because we don't have the basket of man, we don't have to give the Truma donations for the tabernacle anymore. And also, what is written in regards to the inauguration offerings, clearly that doesn't apply to our generations anymore. Therefore, every time it's written Zeh HaDovar in those places, refer to something that will only apply to this generation. And he continues that even though the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kaf Chof Omed Beis 120a and b, there the Gemara makes this very point that Zeh HaDovar only applies to that generation, and the Gemara asks from the Shchutei Chutz, from the fact that we are not allowed to bring offerings outside the tabernacle, and the Gemara there says that it applies to all generations because it's written a special verse, and the Gemara there says that our verse in our Parsha that says in regards to the Nedarim Zeh HaDovar also applies to all generations. But the Meshe Chachma says that according to the Ramban in Vayikra chapter 17 verse number 2, where the Ramban says that the verse Zeh HaDovar in regards to making offerings outside the tabernacle, that verse comes to actually prohibit you bringing regular animals for you to eat outside the tabernacle. Meaning, when there was a tabernacle, you can't just slaughter an animal like we do today and eat it for your pleasure. You're required to bring it as an offering. And therefore, the Ramban there says that this also only applies to that generation, meaning only the generation of the desert could not eat animals without sanctifying them and making them offering. But future generations could slaughter animals and eat without making them an offering. So the Meisach Chachma continues and says that if all those places, Zeh HaDavar, is only temporarily, means only to that generation, how does Zeh HaDavar in regards to vows mean only to that generation? True that the Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara says that Shchutei Chutz, that the verse in regards to slaughtering animals outside the tabernacle apply to all generations, and the Gemara learns from Magzer Shover that Zeh HaDavar here in regards to vows apply to all generations. But according to the Ramban, which the Ramban says that verse by Shchutei Chutz, by slaughtering animals, apply only to that generation, then clearly when it's written Zeh HaDavar here by vows applies also only to that generation, then the Meisach Chachma wants to know why does this verse Zeh HaDavar in regards to vow apply only to this generation? What is the meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to portray by saying Zeh HaDavar, or what did Moshe Rabbeinu want him to vow that he is saying Zeh HaDavar, that this is the vow that I want to apply only? The Meisach Chachma answers that these vows come after the story of Zimri in the end of Parshas Balak. There, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kav Vav Omad Aleph 106a, explains how Bilam advised to Balak to cause the Jewish people to sin in immorality and idolatry. And the Gemara there says that Bilam told Balak that he should set up tents for sale of linen clothing, meaning since the Jewish people don't have any new clothing since they left Egypt, because the clothing grew with them miraculously, then obviously when they will come and they will see the new linen clothing, they will want to buy them. Then he advised that he should put the older lady outside and she would give a higher price, and the younger lady inside would give a cheaper price. Then the Jewish person would go inside and be alone with the younger woman, and then she would bring out wine. And the Gemara there says clearly, "Vadayin lo nesar lohem yain shel nochrim," and it wasn't prohibited to them to drink wine from a non-Jew, meaning we were always prohibited from drinking yain nesar, wine that was poured to an idol, but wine from a non-Jew was not prohibited yet, and therefore the Jewish person would drink the wine and then the younger woman would seduce him, and that will cause him to commit immorality and to commit idolatry. But nonetheless, we see from the Gemara that the whole problem came because they drank the wine and it wasn't prohibited yet, wine from a non-Jew. And the Meisach Chachma is bothered, why in fact didn't they prohibit wine from a non-Jew? The Meisach Chachma explains that they couldn't prohibit wine from a non-Jew because they needed the wine from a non-Jew in order to be able to bring libations on the Mizbeach, on the altar, in the desert. Because according to the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, Parsha Dalet, Simen Chavav, where there the Medrash asks, how did the Jewish people bring libations during the 40 years of the desert where technically nothing grew? The Medrash says, in the name of Rabbanon, that they used to bring libations from the wine that they used to buy from the merchants that were not Jewish, meaning that they encountered merchants in the desert. These merchants were not Jewish, and they had wine for sale. The Jewish people used to buy the wine from those merchants, and that wine they used to pour as libations on top of the altar when they brought offerings. The Medrash continues, Tana Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel learns, Adayin lo nesar yainum shel goyim leYisrael, that they could do that because it wasn't yet prohibited, wine of a non-Jew to the Jewish people. Then clearly we require to have wine from a non-Jew to bring libations during the 40 years of the desert. then clearly we cannot outright outlaw wine from a non-Jew. And since we saw that because of the wine of a non-Jew, that caused the people to sin, and that even caused the leader of the tribe of Shimon to commit immorality. Therefore, the Mishnah Chochma explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the leaders of the tribes that they could make a vow, meaning, I can't outlaw outright the wine of a non-Jew, but since you could still make a vow, then you should all make a vow not to drink the wine of a non-Jew. It's not outlawed outright, because you could bring those wines for libation, but you cannot drink it. And therefore, the Mishnah Chochma explains, that is why Moshe Rabbeinu specifically spoke to Rosh Hamatois, to the leaders of the tribes, because the leader of the tribe is the one that caused the sin, that caused the plague that killed 24,000 people. Therefore, in this verse, it's written that Rosh Hamatois to the leaders of the tribes. And also, according to the Mishnah Chochma, it fits very well why this law of vows is written after the story of Pinchas, after Parshas Pinchas, because it is directly related to what happened in Parshas Pinchas. Because Pinchas killed Zimri, which was seduced by this Midianite woman, and the only reason he was seduced, according to this interpretation, is because of the wine. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that they make a vow in regards to wine, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Zeh HaDavar, this is the thing that I want, because it's only temporarily, because eventually you're not going to need to make a vow not to drink wine, because eventually the wine of a non-Jew is going to be prohibited anyways, because we won't need that wine for libations. So therefore the Mishnah Chochma explains that Zeh HaDavar Asher Tzivo Hashem, this is what Hashem commanded, it refers to the wine of a non-Jew, that the Jewish people should make temporarily vows not to drink the wine of a non-Jew, because we cannot outlaw that wine, because we still need that wine for libations, but you could make a vow, and that idea of making a vow is only temporarily, because in the future you should not make vows. And according to this Mishnah Chochma, it fits very well the answer and the question of the Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe asks a question, how can the verse here say, Ish ki yidoy neder Hashem, a person who will make a vow to Hashem, meaning that the Yismach Moshe is bothered by the language that a person should make a vow to Hashem. The verse could have just said, a person who will make a vow, why does he have to write down Lashem? And quite opposite, he explains that since the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Chav Beis Amud Alef 22a writes down the Tanya, Rab Nosson says, Hanoider, a person who declares a neder, a vow, kilu bona boma, is tantamount as somebody who built a private altar when the private altar was forbidden. Vamekaimoi, and somebody who fulfills his vow, kilu makriv olav korban, it is tantamount as he would have offered on top of that altar an offering. That means that it is something bad to do. The Yismach Moshe asks, since we know that Ein HaKodesh Baruch Hu Meyachet Shmoy Al Hara, Hashem does not put his name on something bad, and it's bad to make a vow, then how can we say, Ish Kidor Nedel Hashem, a person will make vow to Hashem, when it is bad to make a vow? It should have just been written, Ish Kidor Neder, a person will make a vow, because it's a bad thing to make a vow, therefore the word Hashem should not have been written. And the Yismach Moshe answers that when it's mentioned that a person makes a vow, it must be in the type of vow that is written in the Dorim Dav Zayin Amud Beis 7b, where there the Gemara says, Ve'omar Rav Gidl Marav, Rav Gidl says in the name of Rav, Menayim Shenishboim Lekaimis HaMitzvah, how do I know that you could make a vow to fulfill a mitzvah? Shenemar, because it's written, the verse in Tehillim chapter 119, verse 106, Nishbati, I swore, Vakayemo, and I will fulfill it, Lishmor Mishpatei Tzidkecho, to keep your righteous ordinances, which means when you're doing something right, then it is okay to make a vow. That is how the Yismach Moshe answers why it's written, Ish Kidor Nedel Hashem, if a person will make a vow for Hashem, then it comes out that the name of Hashem is for the good, because to make a mitzvah you are allowed to vow. And according to the Meshech Chachma, in our case, since Moshe Rabbeinu was asking them to vow in order not to drink the wine of a non-Jew, and that was a good thing, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said that it's written, Ish ki idor neder l'Hashem, that this neder is going to be for Hashem. Normally you're not allowed to vow only to make a mitzvah, but since I'm telling you that in our case, I want you to vow not to drink the wine of a non-Jew, then in this case, this is tantamount to a mitzvah. Therefore, we could put Hashem's name on that. And according to this Meshech Chachma, I wanted to say that you could answer this medrash that we started very well. Meaning, according to the Meshech Chachma, there's a clear difference between the Koy Omar Hashem and Zeh HaDovar Asher Tzivo Hashem. So did Hashem say, and this is the thing that Hashem said. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give a temporary law, then he says, Zeh HaDovar Asher Tzivo Hashem, this is what Hashem said. And only Moshe Rabbeinu could give temporary laws. Other people are not allowed to give temporary laws. Therefore, the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesies always in Koy Omar Hashem. So did Hashem say. And in truth, in regards to vows, he should also say Koy Omar Hashem. So did Hashem say, because normally it applies to all generations. And all the prophets always say Koy Omar Hashem. So did Hashem say. But Moshe Rabbeinu added that Moshe Rabbeinu could say Zeh HaDovar Asher Tzivo Hashem. This is the thing that Hashem said. That means when Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give a temporary law and he wants the people to know it's temporary, then he says Zeh HaDovar Asher Tzivo Hashem. Then the Medrash is bothered why, in fact, in regards to vows, Moshe Rabbeinu gives the message as Zeh HaDovar only as a temporary law. Therefore, the Medrash says, Zeh She'omar HaKosuv, that this is the reason, because the verse writes down, that Toiva Shaloi Tidor, it's better that you should not make a vow, Mishe Tidor V'Teshalem, instead of making a vow and not fulfill it. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu does not want to give this law as Koy Omar Hashem, so does Hashem say in regards to vow, because Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want you to vow in the future. Moshe Rabbeinu wants you absolutely not to vow, because if you make a vow sometimes, you are not going to fulfill and then you're going to be punished. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says here, Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem, that this is what Hashem commanded, because Moshe Rabbeinu wants that the vows that you make now, not to drink the not-Jewish wine, is only a temporary law, not a permanent law. So according to this Meshech Chachma, we could understand this Yalkut Shimoni in a different way. And according to this Meshech Chachma, it also answers our question, why doesn't the Medrash say what it says during the first time it's written, Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem, that this is what Hashem said, because this Medrash is saying something altogether differently. The Medrash is bothered why, in fact, is Moshe Rabbeinu using the word Zeh HaDovar, since it's not a temporary law. Moshe Rabbeinu should have used the language Koy Omar Hashem. Therefore, the Medrash continues and says that since it's better not to make a vow than make a vow, then the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking them to make a vow, it's a temporary law. Therefore, the Medrash here mentions the difference between Koy Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say, and Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem, and this is what Hashem said. But in other places that it's written Zeh HaDovar, that this is what Hashem said, the Medrash doesn't bother to mention, because in those cases, for example, the man and the donations to the tabernacle and the inauguration of the tabernacle, clearly those are only temporary laws. Therefore, there it's proper to write down Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem. But here, since the proper thing to write would be Koy Omar Hashem, that's why the Medrash is bothered why it's written Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem. This is what Hashem said. This Machmoshe wants to give an answer based on an interesting idea that he brings on Parshas Yisroi. He brings on Parshas Yisroi that there is a saying that the Jewish people only get fed in this world bizchus emunah, because of the merit of trusting in Hashem. And he explains this idea based on what is written in the Gemara in Eruvin Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph 22a. There the Gemara says that what's written in the verse in the volume chapter 7, verse number 11, where the verse says, Veshomartos haMitzvah, Vesachukim, Vesamishpotim. You should keep the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Asher Anoichi Metzavcho Hayoim Lasoisom, that I command you today to do them. The Gemara there says, Omar Rabshibalevi says that the meaning of the verse is Hayoim Lasoisom, today to make them, Veloy Lemacher Lasoisom, and not tomorrow to make them. Meaning that you could only make mitzvahs in this world and you can make mitzvahs in the world to come. This is your chance, your opportunity to make mitzvahs, and not in the world to come. Meaning, after you're dead, you lost the opportunity to make mitzvahs. And the Gemara continues and says that he also says, Hayoim lasoisom, you have a duty to make today, meaning in this world today, lemachor lekabel schorom, and tomorrow to receive reward for those mitzvahs. Meaning, that since we know that schar mitzvah bahai al malekah, that there is no rewards for mitzvahs in this world, therefore you have to do the mitzvahs today, but you will receive your reward in the world to come. And the Yismach Moshe asks, how is that possible that Hashem should not reward you in this world, since we know that Hashem keeps the Torah, as it's written in Yerushalm and Yerush Hashanah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, where the verse says, V'shomru es mishmarti, that you should safeguard my safeguards. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Ani shoymer mitzvoiseo shel Torah, I keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, meaning that Hashem himself keeps the mitzvahs of the Torah. And the Yismach Moshe asks, if that is true, then Hashem is required to give us the reward in this world, because it's written the Torah in Devarim, chapter 24, verse number 15, that when you have a worker and the worker works for you, on its day you should give the reward. Then the Yismach Moshe asks, how is it possible that Hashem will not give us the reward for mitzvahs in this world if Hashem keeps the Torah, and by not giving us reward for the mitzvahs in this world, then Hashem transgresses the prohibition of not paying the wages in time? In truth, there is a very simple answer to this question, and the answer is that everybody understands that while the worker is in the middle of the work, that he is not required to be paid wages. Meaning, let's say you give a shirt to be laundered, then you're not going to pay for the laundry service until the job is complete. While in middle of the work, you are not going to pay for the cleaning of the shirt. You only require to pay after the worker finishes the work, then you require to pay him for the work that he did. And since our whole life we are required to be making mitzvahs, that means that while we are still alive, we are still in the middle of the work. Therefore, Hashem doesn't have to pay us for our work yet. Therefore, Hashem doesn't pay a reward for the mitzvahs while we are in this world, because while we are in this world, we never finish the work. Once we finish the work, once we die, now Hashem has to pay us for the mitzvahs that we did, because now we finished with the work. Therefore, Hashem could only give us the rewards for mitzvahs in the world to come, because it's a technical problem. Because since while we are alive, we didn't finish the work, therefore after we finish the work, means after we die, Hashem gives us the mitzvahs. But after we die, Hashem could only give us rewards in the world to come. That could be a simple answer. But the Yismach Moshe is going to give a different answer. The Yismach Moshe answer is based on the Halach in Shulchan Aruch, Choshe Mishpat, Simen, Shin Lamed Tes, 339, Siv Zion, where there it's written that if you tell an agent that he should hire workers for you, and the agent hires the workers, and he tells the workers that the owner is going to pay for the wages, then in that case, none of them transgresses the prohibition of giving the wages on its day, because the owner did not hire the workers and the agent said that I am not going to pay, the owner is going to pay. Therefore, according to Halacha, none of them transgresses the prohibition of giving the wages in that day. So according to this, says the Yismach Moshe, since when we receive the Ten Commandments directly from Hashem, after the second commandment, we came to Moshe Rabbeinu and we asked that Moshe Rabbeinu be the intermediary to speak to Hashem, and we should not hear the commandments directly from Hashem, because we were afraid that we are going to die. As is written on Dvarim chapter 5, verse number 21 through verse number 24, because as the Gemara explains, after each commandment we died and Hashem had to revive us. Then after the second commandment, we came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu afterwards repeated what Hashem had said, and we received the commandments from Moshe Rabbeinu and not from Hashem. That means also that the whole Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu. And this Machmoshe adds and says that what is written in Devarim chapter 33, verse number 4, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us the Torah. The numerical value of the word Torah is 611, because the Tav is 400, the Vav is 6, that makes it 406, the Reish is 200, that makes it 606, and the Hey is 5, that makes it 611, which means Torah, the 611 laws, Tziva lanu Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us, because the other two laws that completes the 613 were given directly by Hashem. That means that for the 611 laws that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, according to Halacha, Hashem is not required to give the wages on its day, because Hashem does not transgress the prohibition of paying the wages as soon as we finish the work, because since Hashem did not tell us directly the mitzvahs, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell us the mitzvahs. That means that Hashem hired us to make the mitzvahs through an agent. And as the halacha says, when you hire through an agent, then the owner is not responsible to pay the wages on the same day. Therefore, Hashem is not required to give the reward for mitzvahs in this world. He gives it in the world to come. But two mitzvahs that Hashem gave us directly, which is Anoichi Velohi Elecha, the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments, which we heard directly from Hashem, on those commandments, Hashem is required to give the reward in this world, because on those two commandments, He hired us directly, and therefore, if He doesn't give the reward for those mitzvahs in this world, He would transgress Beyoy Moititein Scharoi, that on the day that we finish the work, we are supposed to receive the reward. Therefore, He says that when the Medrash says that the Jewish people receive reward in this world because of Emunah, it means because of these two mitzvahs. Because since Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God, and then Lo Yilecha, you should not have other gods in front of me, those two mitzvahs are mitzvahs of Emunah, of trust in Hashem. Therefore, when it says that we get our reward here because of Emunah, it means because of those two mitzvahs, and Hashem gives the rewards for those two mitzvahs in this world. And he brings also the proof what is written in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4, that says, Tzadik be'emunaso yichye, that a tzadik will live in this world because of his emunah, because of his trust in Hashem, because of him believing in Hashem, him knowing that there is no other God but Hashem, that Hashem controls everything. That is the reason why a tzadik lives in this world. After introducing this idea that Hashem does not transgress the prohibition of Beyoy Motitein Scharoi, that is required to pay the wages in that day, the Yismach Moshe proceeds to explain the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu addressing the Jewish people with the language Koy Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say, and when Moshe Rabbeinu says Ze HaDavar Asher Tzivo Hashem, this is the thing that Hashem commanded. And he explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu said Koy Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu is not speaking the words of Hashem directly. Moshe Rabbeinu is being the intermediary for Hashem. He's like a messenger for Hashem. But when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ze HaDavar Asher Tzivo Hashem, these are the words that Hashem says, then it means that Hashem is speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu in the idea of Shechina Medaberet Mitoch Groino Shel Moshe, that the Divine Presence speaks through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. That is tantamount of Hashem giving the commandment directly to the Jewish people, because the voice of Hashem is the voice that the Jewish people are hearing when Moshe Rabbeinu gives those words. And yet, another particular in regards to the halacha of Beyoimotit and Schoroi that we transgress if we do not pay the wages in the same day. And that is that we only transgress on paying the wages that day if the employee or if the worker asks for his money. But if the worker does not ask for the money, then technically we do not transgress the prohibition of Beyoimotit and Schoroi of paying the wages that day. Therefore, this Pachmosh explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to people that were lofty people, since the lofty people knew that it's better to get the reward for the mitzvahs in the world to come, they would not ask that Hashem give the reward for the mitzvahs in this world, because they know it's a chesed of Hashem, that Hashem leaves the reward for the mitzvahs in the world to come, as the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Dala, the fourth Perek, Mishnah 22 says, "Ve'yafe shoachas shel koiras ruach bo'olam haba," and it's better 1 hour of spiritual bliss in the world to come, "mikol chaye olam hazeh," better than the entire life of this world. That means that the reward in the world to come is so much greater than the reward in this world. Therefore, those people would not ask for the reward in this world. They won't demand payment from Hashem because they want that their reward should stay in the world to come. Then to those people, Moshe Rabbeinu could say, "Zeh ha-dovor asher tziva Hashem." These are the words that Hashem said. And it could be as Hashem gave them the commandment directly. And even though Hashem gave them the commandment directly, nonetheless, Hashem could, in His kindness, leave the reward for the world to come, since they are not demanding for the reward, and therefore, until they demand the reward in this world, Hashem is not required to give, because the prohibition of Beyoimotit Tein Schoroi, that you're supposed to pay the wages on the day, is only when the worker is demanding the wages. And since the people here are not demanding the wages, because for them it's better if the wages is postponed, therefore, to those people, Moshe Rabbeinu has no problem using the language "Zeh ha-dovor." This is the word that Hashem said, and the Shechina could be speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu. Divine presence could be speaking directly through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. But to the people that are on a low level, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have said "Zeh ha-dovor asher tziva Hashem," this is the word that Hashem said, then those people would demand payment in this world. And when they demand payment in this world, then they don't receive any payment in the world to come. Then they will have no world to come, and they won't have any mitzvahs to take to that world. Therefore, Hashem, in His great kindness, told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to those people in the language "Koi Omar Hashem," so did Hashem say. Like that, Moshe Rabbeinu was the messenger for the mitzvahs to Hashem. Therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu is the messenger and Hashem did not speak to them directly, they cannot demand payment from Hashem, because then Hashem does not transgress the prohibition that he has to pay the wages on the day that they finished work, because it is done through a messenger. And therefore, Hashem in His great kindness waits and gives the rewards for those mitzvahs in the world to come. So Hashem has to speak to those people in the language "Koi Omar Hashem," so did Hashem say, which implies that Moshe Rabbeinu is a messenger of Hashem, and those are not the words directly from Hashem, because if Hashem would give the words directly by saying "Zeh ha-dovor," this is the words that Hashem said, those people who are on low level would demand payment, and Hashem doesn't want to give payment because Hashem wants to be kind to those people and make them have a world to come. Therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was addressing the low people, he was addressing by the language "Koi Omar Hashem," so did Hashem say. Then the Ismach Moshe says that if you hire a worker to remove a danger from the worker himself, then logic dictates that you do not transgress the prohibition of Beyoimotit and Schoroi, that you should have to pay the wages in that day. Because since the worker is removing a danger that is dangerous to the worker himself, then the worker is technically working for himself too. True that you are the one who told them what to do, but since he is removing the dangers for himself, then technically you do not transgress the prohibition of b'yoymu titan schora that you require to pay him the wages in that day. And the Ismach Moshe adds that what is written in Chulin Dav Beis Omed Aleph 2a, where there Rab Meir says, Toif mizeh umizeh, better than somebody who makes a vow and does not fulfill, or somebody who makes a vow and fulfills, she'eino inoider koliker, somebody who does not make a vow altogether, because Rab Meir translates the verse that it's better not to make a vow, rather than make a vow and not pay. He translates because once you may make a vow and end up not paying. That means that in regards to the mitzvah of vows, technically, Hashem should not be required to pay the wages for the person who fulfills the vow, because Hashem would rather that you don't make a vow altogether. According to this, the Ismach Moshe explains that this is the interpretation of the Medrash, because the Medrash says that we see that most times Hashem addresses the Jewish people in Koy Omar Hashem, meaning that there is a low level of Jewish people, and Hashem does not want to give the reward for the mitzvahs in this world. Therefore, most of the times Hashem addresses the people with Koy Omar Hashem. True that previously we have seen that Hashem addressed in Zeh HaDavar SheTziva Hashem, this as Hashem demanded, but that is when Hashem is talking to the lofty level of people. But now that Hashem addresses the regular people, Hashem would use Koy Omar Hashem. So did Hashem say. And the prophets would also use the language Koy Omar Hashem, so did Hashem say. And Moshe Rabbeinu would only use the language Zeh HaDavar when he's speaking to the lofty people. But here says Ismach Moshe, in regards to vows, Moshe Rabbeinu could use the language Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem, this is what Hashem demanded. Are you going to ask me, how can Moshe Rabbeinu use the language Zeh HaDavar? Maybe the low people are going to ask for the wages. And the answer is, because since it's written, Toiva Shaloi Tidor, Mishet Tidor Vloite Shalom, better don't make a vow than make a vow and do not pay. That means Hashem, by giving us the laws of vow and telling us not to make them, Hashem is removing a danger for the person who makes the vow. That means that Hashem is not required to pay the wages anyways. And since Hashem is not required to pay the wages anyways, because He's removing the danger which is for yourself, therefore, Hashem could give the language Zeh HaDavar, this is the thing that Hashem commanded, and He could say it directly, which is tantamount of Him giving the commandment directly and not through a messenger, because in this case, He's not required to pay the wages on the same day. The Berach Moshe also says that whenever it's written Zeh HaDavar, it means to say that the Shechina medaberes mitoch groin shel Moshe, that the Shechina is speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. And he explains that specifically here, the Medrash makes the point that Moshe Rabbeinu uses Zeh HaDavar, even though we had many Zeh HaDavars before, as we mentioned, because since Moshe Rabbeinu says that whoever comes out of your mouth, you should do, that a person should not make his words chulin, makes his words ordinary, and everything that he says, he should do, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu believed that the word is very precious. And he explains that when it's written in Shemos chapter 4, verse number 10, that Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, Ki kovet peh ve kovet loshon anoichi, that I'm heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue, he explains that that means that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Hashem that my words are very precious, that I don't like to speak to kings, I don't like to speak too much, because I don't like to speak ordinary words. My words are very precious. And Sefer Berach Moshe explains that because Moshe Rabbeinu felt that his words are so precious, therefore Hashem made a point that Shechina medaberes mitoch groin shel Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu was rewarded, that the Divine Presence spoke through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat, as the Shechina would speak directly. And the Shechina would not speak only to somebody who keeps his word, and his words are precious. Therefore he explains that specifically here, where Moshe Rabbeinu is making the laws of vows, and he says that everything that comes out of your mouth you should do, therefore here the Medrash chooses to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was rewarded with Zeh HaDavar, that even though it was said Zeh HaDavar before, but here he tells you the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was rewarded with Zeh HaDavar, because since Moshe Rabbeinu kept his words at a minimum and made his words precious, therefore he merited that Zeh HaDovar SheTziva Hashem, that the Shechina spoke through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should always watch our speech. We should only give the praise of another Jew and the praise of Hashem. And if we do that, we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash Rebbe.